Yeah, hello.
Hello, I'm Gunnar, and everyone can hear me. That's great. Thanks a lot for the video, guys. And, well, I have a tablet. Yeah, of course, we can do that. And, yeah, well, okay, now it works. Okay, charging stations. That's what it looks like. I have some numbers by the side. I'm from the countryside by Husum, near the Danish border. That's the region where there's wonderful public transportations, and that means 4 to 5 per day. And that's the flat country where you really have to have a car, otherwise you can't get around. And here in North Frisia, we're quite good. The numbers show. The goal of the federal government hasn't been reached yet, but we are halfway there. All right, the following is very important. There's electricity coming out of charging stations quite a lot, and it's quite dangerous. Don't touch it. And I brought some photos. And okay, there's questions to the audience. Who used charging stations to charge his car? And that's more than in other congresses or conferences. Congratulations. It's not 100%, but we have to work on that. But the photos show how that can look. And there are cities like Berlin who said charging stations have to be gray, so you can't see them. And there are some pictures showing that. And so what can happen if you make a mistake?
Und?
Okay. What can happen to others if you make a mistake? And I'm calling to do interesting and exciting things with charging stations, but don't take away people's mobility. That would be a good thing. And mobility is about as important as the internet, more or less important than the internet. That's open to discussion. But here are three rules according like the three laws of robotics by Asimov. And please respect those rules. So there are five small topics. So what's the construction of an electric vehicle, then DC charging and AC charging, and how can we pay for that? So this is what an electric car looks like.
Well,
how is it made? You take a combustion engine car and remove the combustion engine and put in an electric engine, an electric motor.
Das ist ganz spannend.
And it's quite exciting because an electric motor usually has one moving part, and that's the rotor, and there are two ball bearings. And a very important part is missing. The transmission is not necessary. That's very nice for the user because it cannot break down. There's no oil in it. And many other parts that can always break down are missing. There are no cylinder heads, no crankcase, no exhaust. We have nothing of that. Electric motors are maintenance-free, more or less, the thing. So everything that is part of the car, that's what the industry calls all the thing that is not the drivetrain. And then we need the battery. There's in the Tesla, as there are thousands and thousands of battery cells. Okay, the motor, usually they are asynchronous motors, no brushes, and no wear and tear. And there are some exceptions, and if it's whining, there's a DC motor, and that will break down soon. Don't buy such a car. Batteries. Short word about batteries. There are lead acid batteries. They are still used because they are cheap and you can exchange them at home. Nickel cadmium. We'll cover that with the code of history. And there in the Toyota Prius, there are still nickel metal hydride. This is old technology and very important. If you ever heard about a zebra battery, it uses molten salt and it has to be heated to 200 to 300 degrees, otherwise it doesn't work. There's one car using that, it's the Think City. Otherwise, they are used in military torpedoes with molten salt. And the market standard is lithium ion batteries. Different variants, there are different sorts of chemistry for lithium ion batteries. They have different voltages and some other properties, but that's not the topic for today. Important to know for at home is the charging voltage depends on the cell type. But I didn't want to open the battery of my car because it's somewhat dangerous. This is the battery from an electric bicycle, and you can see these are lithium ion cells. This is type 18-16-50. This is the length and the diameter. It's the same thing basically in the car, just a lot bigger.
How can I charge such a battery? There's a scheme called CCFU. There are three steps. The first I take a whole battery, this 1,000 parts, and put it to a constant voltage, and put as much voltage as I can do. At some point, we have the final point reached, and then we change from constant circuit to constant voltage to condenser, and usually keep this constant voltage until it reached 1/10 C. What is the C? C is this rate of charging. Battery capacities are measured in ampere hours. When I have a battery with 10 ampere hours, when I charge it for 10, it takes 1 hour. This is 1 C. So 1/10 C is 1 ampere. The third part for big batteries, we have the battery management system. All these cells are a little different. And that's not good. And that's why for good batteries, every cell will be put on the same level. What's the easiest way to do this? We can buy such laboratory things and put into series until we have reached this point. Some people in Schleswig-Holstein do this. That's the most cheap way.
Finde die Ladestation.
Find a charging station. In nowadays cars, you have 20 to 30 kilowatt hours. From this, we can calculate the productivity. We are not talking about something for a laptop, but more kilowatts, many kilowatts. There is some rule of thumb. If your battery charge is 1 hour or less, then you are at a point where you have a damage of your cell. The latest results in our lab shows that this is not necessarily true. There are some e-cars which can charge really fast in like 30 minutes, and the cell damage is not as bad as we always thought. Charging in less than 1 hour, that's cool. That's one thing you want to reach. Where do I charge such a car? At home. Of course, in a charging station. These are standard values. It's not clear if these are really realistic values. Where else do I want to charge them if I have a longer trip? Germans usually travel 42 kilometers and it's reach for about 3 days. But if I visit my granny in Kassel, then I have to recharge my car. And this should be in the same range of like having a coffee and going to the toilet. Once I'm at the destination, it doesn't need to be fast anymore. Find a charging station. This charging station on a ship. There are some problems. If I want to recharge it fast, then I need a charger, which is really powerful. These are very heavy and expensive. First, I could put this into the car. This would be it's expensive and heavy. But wherever I am, in Europe, we can do this almost everywhere. In the US and in Japan, it's another thing. We don't want to talk Africa. There, I can recharge my car very fast. In principle, this would work here in this building. But then my car is very expensive, and most people do not like that. That's why most of the producers do not put this into the car, but put it in on the street in such a thing like a filling station. And then we fill this with this. This means I need less of chargers because you can share them with other users.
Schnellstromtankstelle mit allen Baukosten
40.000 €. So, charging station costs about 40.000 euros. That's why you do not have money of them.
Völlig absurd wird's dann.
This one is really absurd. You can imagine it's like a box, like about the size of a suitcase. On one side, I have AC, and on the other side, right hand side, there is DC coming out. People use this, which do not have a fast charging station. The thing costs about 16,000 euros. That's not a really good alternative.
Hier habe ich nochmal aufgeschrieben, das ist zum Nachlesen.
Yeah, I wrote down some things about the what the cars can actually reach. Usually with AC it's about 3 kilowatts.
Das ist die schönste Stromtankstelle zu der
Marke. That's the most beautiful charging station you can find.
Das ist dann nun der Stecker für die.
That's the plug for the AC charging.
Ja, hinterher angucken. Da sind, das kann man jetzt sehen, 7 Pins drin.
You can see there are 7 pins. 5 of them are just usual plugs. 3 phases, 2 protection, 1 star. The 2 others are for data transmission. So what can you do about it? There's electricity coming out of it. This picture is from why not just charging your phone in the city? Every one of us had this problem, and you want to call someone, and the charging station in Hamburg, you can just put your mobile in there.
Jetzt gibt's ein Problem.
Now we have a problem. You can't do this everywhere.
This is the circuitry if you only have a simple connection, and the data protocol is extremely simple. You can see the 7 pins from the type 2, and you need a diode and a resistor, and I've written down the values for that. If you use that in the right way, then you get electricity, and that's what it looks like. And you can really brew a tea during charging, and the water is already steaming, and there's a Freifunk router, and the LEDs are blinking. And besides that, the car is also being charged. So if you have normal cars, they come with a charging cable and which have the resistor inside the cable. That's the lowest resistor. And it's not, doesn't go through the cable. And the cable CP with a diode, that goes through the cable up to the car. So the car can say when and how it is being charged. And we have to look at this again. R2 says that's important because the data protocol is for the normal user, and it says how what current the cable can take, and that's why the resistor is in the cable. The system of car, charging station, and cable has to be can maximally be loaded with a certain amperage, and the car knows how much it can take. The cable can signal with the resistor how much it can take, and what the station signals, I'll show that in a minute. So the station sends a pulse width modulated signal, that's always 1 kHz, and the pulse width says how much current the car can take from the station, and you can charge controlled by the cloud, who has a photovoltaic system, and so there are some. And whenever the cloud comes, and the photovoltaic takes less, and then whenever there's a cloud, you can tell the car don't take as much current, and there are some steps, but there's really a linear dependency, and you can, with a second precise timing, you can change that. And if you want to charge overnight, there is an ISO standard, which I haven't read because it's very big, and there's an open source project for that. So this is from the practice when using this circuit. There are different statuses, different states, and if you plug it in, nothing happens. And if the first resistor, then you signal that the car is there, and then you can connect a second resistor, and then you will get current. And why is that important? The state of the car is now locked in the station, so little kids can't pull it out. And car ready can be skipped, and you can go straight to charge now. And on some stations, that is not possible. You can, with this cable, you can transmit a car ID, and the car can signal to the station where to send the bill. And with the Type 2 connector, okay, for the station, there is open hardware, and I wrote down too, there's something from the US with digital technology, and that works without processor, just only with analog technology, and you can build it yourself. It's not very hard to do. And there's one with a Type 2 to make DC charging with a Type 2 plug. And there is a method that isn't according to the standard, but and that's what Tesla does. And Tesla does it the Microsoft way. They take it to a Type 2 connector and do something else. And these connectors are very expensive. They cost €100. And maybe someone from the audience can make that cheaper. There's the OpenEVSE for those who want to build it. It's from the US. And please put in an FI switch type B, because the type A doesn't fulfill European norms. And now here's DC charging. That's a Tesla supercharger. And please change your thoughts completely. In the house, there's a transformer and a rectifier. And it's just in the front, there's just a little plastic house with a cable holder. And what happens there? Well, the DC charging connectors in the car are really directly the battery terminals. And that's exciting. And in addition, there's also some data wires. And the car says, here's my battery, this voltage and this current. And then it transfers control to the station. And hey, the station could just blow up the battery or do something with it. And what's there? You have access to the battery terminals. There's 400 volts, and you can do stuff with that. For some cars, there are ready-made products for a picnic, for the house, for a mobile home. And I didn't think about this a lot, but there are lots of high-performance DC power stations, and you can do physical chemistry with it, and maybe silver plate some stuff, and that's what it looks like. This is the Shademo connector. That's Japanese and means time for a cup of tea, and two high-performance terminals and a few data wires. And one of them is actually a CAN bus. I don't know about that, but some of the audience probably will. And this protocol can do up to 125 kilowatts. The usual is 50 kilowatts. There's one car that does a little more. And you can buy the connector, but it costs more than $1,000. Well, that's a pity. E-Motorworks built a 3D model and printed it. That's very good. And what's missing is in the Shademo ecosystem, what's missing is a device so to tap the contents of the battery. And there's a device from a company in Hamburg, but it costs as much as the battery, but it has to be cheaper. And plugs are missing, so you can modify your own cars, and the counterpart for the car itself. And E-Motorworks in the US also makes charging stations and Shademo adapter circuitry, and you can get a charging station for $4,000, but I haven't found any in Europe. But they could work with European power supply, but there's a problem with deliveries. And it has been paid, but who looks at the Shademo protocol? You can by the protocol for $160 at the Japanese Standardization Organization. This is the other DC charging standard. It's called DSS, CSS, Combined Charging System, CCS, and some important parts are missing, but they are high voltage charging pins. It's a German invention. And because there already was a DC charging system, CHAdeMO, and it was possible over the Type 2 connector, and why did you invent something new? And I got the answer. So they only have to have one plug, but you can have two. Nissan makes two. And the technology is XML over IP over system for modulating the data onto the DC signal. And you can buy the protocol here. It's a DIN specification at the Boyd publishing company, and there's a lot else in there. And in the CCS charging system, there's really nothing available as open hardware or open software. So paying, that's a nightmare, and you can't get it free anymore. Those times are gone. But these are just from Schleswig-Holstein, and I covered the keys so nobody can replicate the keys from the photo. And this device, you can pay. There are just three plugs, and most of them are RFID cards. There are thousands of them. And how do you get the RFID cards? You go there with the combustion engine car, and then with the combustion engine car, you go back. And then in the evening, when you really want to drive your car, you can charge it then. That's absurd, isn't it? And isn't there an app for that? And the guy from NFC Gate isn't there, but that should be possible.
There are some apps available, mainly about the system about RWE. Only works with apps. No one has checked them yet. From the point of view of the users, it's absolutely obtuse. Who was standing at this in the rain, standing there, was completely wet, and it didn't work. I bet it was all. So it's depending if you can go home only on this. That's just stupid. And then there's also roaming. So you do not have to have 20 or 30 cards. You have one roaming app, so it would be great to have more. It's really interesting because roaming means every one of us can sell this charge without having their own station. So what about paying your electricity with bitcoins until the 31st, 12th? I just say that. In the last hub checked, there we have. You can skip this for €5,000 entry money.
Also vieles ist kaputt.
So many things are broken. Many things are broken, but we have a very interesting future. That's the finishing. That's how it looks like when it comes directly from the sun to your car. And that was my talk. If you have questions, please feel free to ask them.
Erstmal vielen Dank, Gunnar. Wenn ihr Fragen habt, stellt euch bitte an die Saalmikros. Wir haben Zeit für einige wenige.
So we have time for a few questions. One from the IRC. The first question is, why aren't there a way to pay with EC card?
That's a really good question. I ask myself, other people, why is so? And they tell me that the money you have to pay for this is really expensive because it costs about 2, 3, or 5 euros, and it's a pity. Only a few people knew that this doesn't work.
Bei den Volksbanken nämlich.
That's, for example, because most of the banks, you can pay with this EC cards. Isn't it cool?
Rund um Lörrach.
Around Lörrach, there is something new. There you can buy with contact-free credit cards. And in the Netherlands, from the Fastnet, they can pay via a credit card, but you don't have to put it into the station, but you pay via app. There you need an app, but You can have free Wi-Fi at most stations.
Next questions from the microphone. Hello. Small remark. You talked about three different protocols. You said RWE uses IEEE as a proprietary protocol. So this one, even before that, yeah, here, the IEEE 1901 is specified. It specifies the Green Fire standard, so it's not proprietary. It's the same as CSS or ISO or the DIN standard. And the CCS protocol, there was no open source implementation. That is not quite correct. There is an implementation. OpenBTG is compatible to the CCS standard.
Thanks. I'd like to talk with you.
There's another question from the Signal Angel. It's interesting to know which German cars can even compete with Tesla in terms of battery.
None. There's one exception, Mercedes, B-Class. They're comparable to Tesla because they bought that from Tesla.
Next question.
Hello.
You said in Germany there aren't so many electric charging stations because they are so expensive, or maybe can you say something about why in the Netherlands there are twice as many as in Germany?
There are only a few about this fast charging station because they cost about 40,000 euros. And in the Netherlands there are people that just buy that. And there is a reason, because the market in the Netherlands is just 5 times bigger. You can see this on these numbers on this slide, number 2.
Ich habe hier nämlich noch ganz unten mitgebracht.
I brought a number, you can see there at the bottom. New numbers, new cars, it's 0.6% of the cars which are bought new. And in the Netherlands you have 37%. Then 8 times more people are using these charging stations. And also in the Norway.
We have time for one short question. Yeah.
Eine kurze Frage.
A short question to the number of charging stations at the moment in Germany. Do you know what it is
in Germany about 5,400. Most of them are the slow charging stations with AC. Generally in Germany, yeah, it's okay-ish. It's not luxury, but still okay-ish. It's really more very bad if you are in Brandenburg or then Mecklenburg-Vorpommern. But in general, Terry come from Brussels to Germany to Bergen.
Für Deutschland sind lemnet.org.
Best, you can look that up on in the internet.
So, das war's. Wir haben leider keine Zeit mehr. Vielen Dank für die